Neil, Daniel, we graduated a few years ago. He comes to learn Shir on Sunday. He's a great, great fellow. Baruch Hashem. He's a great model for everybody. Okay. Let's begin, guys. Okay. I want to begin with, before we start the Tosis inside, I saw an interesting, I want you to gain familiarity with are you familiar with what's called the Tosefta? What Toseftas are? You know, we have the Mishnah, we have the Gemara, and then we have Brises. Brises are outside Tanaic literature that are not in Mishnah. And Toseftas are Brises. And every Masechta has in the back, actually, Daniel, I want you to use this one if you could. We'll switch that. Every Masechta has in the back Toseftas. So I noticed, very interestingly enough, I noticed that there's a Tosefta that I wanted you to just see, the very first Tosefta in the Masechta about this story with Helene Amalka with the seven sons. So let's take a look at it, okay? There's different gears there. Everyone have it? It's in the very back. I don't know if you have it. See Tosefta? See where I have Tosefta in the very back? Tosefta Perek Aleph? Tosefta, yeah.
Tosefta could override Amor, right?
Tosefta is written by Tanoim, who wrote the Mishnah and the Brisa. That's correct. Yes. So the Tanoim is very interesting.
Tosefta was meant by the Urim and Memphis.
Yeah, there's commentators on the bottom. So if you look at the first Tosefta, it says, Sukkah shi gavol lamal mesumama psula rebuta makshir. Am rebuta maisa besukas. Helene Bilud, Shaisa Gover, Haisa Gavoa Yosem Esri Mama. Yes? The very first Tosefta quotes this story with Helene Amalka, right? And it's very interesting that in the brackets, if you see the brackets, it says, the Chachamim came in and out, Vayuskanim Nichnasim Yotzim Letzla, below Amar Echad Mehem Dover. No one said a word to her. Amar Lov Neshehi Isha. Vein Isha Chayevis Besukah. Amar Lehem Valo Shiva Bonim. Do you guys got the brackets there? Talmidei Chachamim Hayu La V'Kulin Shruin Besokah. Wow. You see that additional phrase? Says that there was a different version, exactly. Now, normally, do you call Ketanim Talmidei Chachamim? Ketanim, are they called Talmidei Chachamim?
No
way. So I want you to get down. You see from this Yushalmi in the Tosefta, Yushalmi has the same Girsa, that these sons were Gedolim. They were not Ketanim. And that's what the Chaste David points out right here. The Chaste David in Perek Aleph right there in the first story there points out that we never call Ketanim Talmidei Chachamim. He writes it right there. V'sarach lidchok lafarsh shiva banim Talmidei Chachamim hayulah. If they were Talmidei Chachamim, you don't call Ketanim Talmidei Chachamim. So he says they were Gedolim. They were not Ketanim. And that has nothing really to do with Chinuch. And therefore, since we paskin like what? We paskin like Rava, it must be that the Sukkah is what? The Sukkah is Ksheira. So I want you to get down in your notes that the Tosefta, according to the Chaste David and the Yushalmi, has a completely different version of this story. That these kids were not Ketanim, they were Gedolim, and they were each chayv as bar mitzvah boys, above bar mitzvah. They were Talmidei Chachamim, and if you're sitting in a sukkah that's higher than 50, you bet your bottom dollar that that's Ksheira. Okay? That's an amazing thing. The Chaste David, according to the Tosefta and the Yushalmi in sukkah, you know what the Yushalmi is? We learn Bavli, but the Yushalmi is quoted a lot of times by the Rishonim. And they have this Chiddush, Halacha L'maisa. And therefore it comes out to be that we know that they would not sit, they had the sukkah in a sukkah ksheira, and therefore it's got to be that it's kosher. But I did notice in the Vilna Gaon that he took that out. He doesn't have that. You see the Agos HaGra? The Agos HaGra doesn't have that at all. He just has regular, like we have in the Shas, like in our Gemara, it says that the sukkah was high, and they didn't say anything, and it was good. Allah says, don't tell me that they were Gedolim and Talmidei Chachamim. They were just regular Ketanim. So mark down in your notes, the Gos HaGra's Girs is exactly like we have it, and he doesn't have that brackets like we have in our Tosefta. Do you guys have it in your Tosefta? You have it in your Tosefta? It's an amazing thing. So I want you to get that down. Beautiful. That's how I wanted to begin sharing a different version of that. Not too many people. I was so happy when I saw this, because normally we think that, you know, they were ketanim and that's it. But when you think about it, I mean, usually you don't call a cut in a Talmud Chacham, even if he's a genius. It's just, it's not really appropriate. You see, he says, "Val ketanim," he says, "Shiva bar dan aktanim shrikhin leim and lo shach Talmud Chacham." A child that needs his mother, you don't call him a Talmud Chacham. You know what I mean? It's a weird appellation. Okay. That's the first nakuda I wanted to begin with. Okay. Now let's see the Tosfos. Okay. As I was telling a lot of guys in Seder, you got to work. I don't want you to be frustrated. A lot of times, you see, Tosfos is a bucking shot. So Tosfos expects you, when you quote the Gemara, that you to know it. And if you don't know it, you got to look it up. Right? And it's sometimes it's not easy, but you work through it. So let's begin with this Tosfos here. Ad arboim l'chamishim amah. Let's see it inside. And we'll explain it so you get everything clear. It's a beautiful feeling. Okay? All right, because we know, like Rav Schechter once said, Kol HaTorah Kula Achasi, all the Torah is one. So in order to stand the Tosfos, you have to realize that if he quotes something, we got to make sure we look it up and we know it, and we can't skim it and fake it, because when it comes to Torah, either you know it or you don't. That's the bottom line. You either know it or you don't, and it's an amazing feeling when you know it. Okay. Proud of everyone after sleep because everyone's exhausted, but you're here, you're working. So Matthew, why don't you read the Tosfos? Okay, let's go slow. Start the Tosfos for us. Go ahead. Reb Yudah says out of 40 and 50 yamas, it's good. Let's see the Tosfos inside. Go ahead. You know, before we even start the Tosfos, what bothers you with Ad Arboim B'Chamishim? What should have bothered you when you read the Gemara? Yeah, exactly. I mean, if 40 or 50 is good, just say 50. What do you got to waste words for? That's exactly what Tosfos is going to be bothered by. Tosfos is going to point out there's some Gemaras in Shas that the Gemara asks on that and picks up on it, and there are other Gemaras that don't. Our Gemara is one of those Gemaras that doesn't ask. And Tosfos wants to postulate a rule. When do we ask? When do we not ask? That's Tosfos' job right here. So let's go, Matthew. Very good. Ad arboim. You want someone else, or you want to read?
I
go ahead. Let's go. Ad arboim. Beautiful. The Gemara in Erevin, what daf? Bezum and Bez says that a mavui that's higher than 20 amas. What does the Tanakhama say? Yemoi. What does Reb Yudah say? Machshir ad arboim mechamish amah. That's not the Mishnah in Erevin. There's a Brice and Bezum and Bez. Much like a Brice and Bezum and Bez in Sukkah. See, 40 and 50 doesn't appear in the Mishnah in Sukkah. It appears in the Brice in Sukkah. Right? So through Mavui, it says it's Kachar Lamaila. And then the Brice in Omid Beis in Erevin, it says he holds up to 40, 50 is good. So the Gemara in Sukkah and the Gemara in Erevin doesn't touch it. Doesn't ask that Kasha. That's what he says, Ki Agavna. Our Gemara is like the Gemara in Erevin. Below, go ahead. Below what?
Below
Tikshi. And it doesn't ask. Give it some drama, Matthew. Give it some drama, like Hashta Chamishim Kshir, our boy, me boy. It's like, what are you doing? If it said 50, 40, you got to say me boy. Like, you know, do some drama, because I know you love. You're always besimcha. So he's bothered by why does the Gemara and Sukkah and Moravian not ask it like that? What's going on? And it's wild, Lamaisa. That's what you read it like that. I love the drama with the me boy. Hacha hashta chamishim share our boy me boy. Why didn't the Gemara ask that? Okay, go ahead. And now he's going to point out the Gemara's. He was such a bucking shas, Tosfos, right? Now he's going to point out the Gemara's where the Gemara does ask it. Other Gemara's in shas. Go ahead. Ukenai Keenan, go ahead. Oh, so what's the din? Let's get the din to understand the din. The Chachamim made a takana when a woman is married and her husband dies, God forbid, she becomes a widow. So the Chachamim are very worried, how is she going to sustain herself? So the man had boys, he had Yisomim, and the responsibility upon Yisomim is to sustain the widow. Could be their mother, could be a stepmother. Whatever the case might be, they have responsibility from that pot that they were yorish from the guy that died. They have to sustain this woman. Okay. So let's say the woman was independently wealthy. Maybe she had her own job. Maybe her family's wealthy. And for 2-3 years after the husband has died, she hasn't asked the Yisomim for one penny. And she's fine, she's working, whether she has a lot of money, independently wealthy, no problem. Then 3 years later, she wakes up one morning and says, oh, you owe me $60,000, $20,000 a year of subsidizing me. They said, what? You never asked us for anything. And she goes to Beis Din and takes them to a dinner and says, I want $60,000. You know what the Beis Din says to her? Excuse me, ma'am. If you needed the money, you should have took them to a dinner right away. The fact that you didn't take them to a dinner shows you were mochel. You know what mochel means? Someone owes you money from a loan, you're mochel the money. You don't owe a penny. Okay? And what does the Gemara ask over there in Ksubis? What does it ask? It asks exactly that kasha. It says, Stein ibda shloshim boy? If you know that after 2 years, she loses out. For sure after 3 years. So the Gemara in Ksubis does ask such a stylistic kasha. The Gemara in Ksubis does ask such a stylistic kasha. So that's one Gemara, okay? Lamaisa, and it's unfortunate. In fact, I want to just tell you a din, so you'll get down in your notebook. The halacha is that, just as an addendum, they only have to sustain her for 25 years. Let's say the guy died as a young man, God forbid. Up till 25, after 25 years, it stops. She's on her own, okay? But here she didn't even claim for anything. Okay, so that's one Gemara that asked the kasha. Go ahead, next Gemara. So let's get the din there. What's the din? You see, even though we do have in Tanakh, a lot of our tzaddikim were shepherds, namely Moshe was a shepherd, Yaakov was a shepherd, but in the times of Mishnayos, Jacob's shepherds were kaslanim. They would shepherd animals, and the animals would eat on other people's property. People would steal them. So if you want to buy livestock from a shepherd, there's a concern that maybe it's stolen property. He stole it from the Baal HaBos. You know, a shepherd is a job. He works for a farmer. So if you buy it from the Baal HaBos, if you buy it from a shepherd, we're afraid they're stolen stuff. But if you buy 4 or 5 animals, we assume that it's owned by the shepherd because he stole 4 or 5 animals. That's too noticeable by the Baal HaBos, and the owner of the livestock will notice and say, well, you're ripping me off. But if you steal 2 or 3, it's not noticeable. You follow me? So if you're going to buy livestock from a shepherd, it's got to be of the volume of 4 or 5, because there you can assume it's really what? It's really owned by the shepherd. But if you buy 2 or 3, then we're afraid that he chopped them from who? The Baal HaBos. The Baal HaBos didn't notice, and you're buying stolen property. So the din is, lochim min aroim arbel chamesh son, arbel chamesh gizin. Gizin means, you know, son is flock, gizin is sheared animals, and therefore, you know, the sheared wool, and therefore in such a case we allow it. And what does the Gemara and Baba Kama ask? If you're allowed to buy 4, how much more she should be allowed to what? She'd be allowed to buy how many? 5. So you see, Tosfos says we have 4 Gemaras. Our Gemara, the Gemara Ervin, did not ask such a kasha. And the Gemara in Ksubis and Baba Kama did ask a kasha. So Tosfos is in a quandary. What is the rule here? When does the Shas, Ravina Rasha, wrote the Gemara, ask this kasha? When does it not ask this kasha? Jacob, you got me clear? Yeah? You got it? Okay. That's what the Gemara is saying with Farish, okay? That's what Tosfos is bothered by, this unbelievable quandary. Okay, we got it clear? Everyone got it clear? Okay, Yoni, clear? You got it? Okay, yes, go ahead, Yehuda.
Where was that third case of the sheep from?
Baba Kama, Daf Kuf Yud Chesem and Beis. So you got Ksubis of Baba Kama, where the Gemara asks it. You have Erevin and Sukkah, where the Gemara doesn't ask it. Daniel, you clear? You got it? Okay, very good. Donnie, clear? Okay, you got it? Tosfos wants to know what's the ruler. When does Gemara ask and when does Gemara not ask? That's what he's bothered by. Okay, great. So now Tosfos has got to come up with some solution. What's his thesis that he wants to postulate here? Okay, go ahead, Matthew. So what does he say? Oh, now what does that mean? That's a style. What does Zuvain Sarach Lomar Zu mean?
I said this, I don't know.
But it means like this. I want you to get it. It means, you know what a chiddush is? What's a chiddush? Something novel. Right? So there are two styles that Rabbi HaKadosh wrote Mishnayos and Gemara in. You can have a few cases, and you say the biggest Kiddush first, and then you go down with saying the more simplest thing afterwards. That's called Zu. The first one is the biggest Kiddush, and the thing afterwards is more simple. And I really didn't need to teach it. When the Gemara chooses that type of style, then the Gemara asks, why'd you write it like that? Why did you write in that situation? Halacha l'maaseh, why'd you write it in such a way? Zu vein sarach lomer zuktani. Once you tell me that she lost 2 years, halacha l'maaseh, there is no reason to teach me three. You know that if she didn't claim she'd lose. And also by the shepherd. Once you tell me you're allowed to sell what for, obviously you're allowed to sell what? Five. Right? You understand what I'm saying? What's a bigger chiddush? Four animals or five? Yoni, which is a bigger chiddush to sell? Four animals or five animals?
Four.
Excellent. Once you teach the first chiddush, the biggest chiddush, you don't have to teach anything more. That's what the phrase zu, vein, sarach, lomer, zuktani means. That the first thing on the list was the biggest chiddush. So when the Gemara teaches it in that way, the Gemara hocks and asks, why'd you do it like that? Why'd you write five? Just write four. Again, zu, vein, sarach, lomer, zuktani means the first thing on the list is the biggest chiddush. And then the thing afterwards is unnecessary to write. So if it's unnecessary to write, so the Gemara asks, why'd you write it? The woman that what? The woman says 2 years. You didn't claim for 2 years, you're done. You don't have to teach 3 years. Two's a bigger chiddush. Yoni, like Yoni said, four is a bigger chiddush than five regarding the animals. So once you teach that bigger chiddush, there's no reason to teach the second thing on the list. Therefore, in Ksubas and Baba Kama, the Gemara hocks on it. Hocks means it asks on it and says, what are you doing? Why are you writing another number? However, by us, go ahead, Mishum Hachi, read the next words, Matthew, Mishum Hachi.
Mishum Hachi,
Kasha. Therefore, the Gemara asks the Kasha over there in those two places. Mashain King, finish the blank, which Tosas wants you to finish the blank on your own. You finish the blank for me. Someone finish the blank for me. But whereas our two Gemaras, let's let someone else instill in yeshiva say it. Very good, Daniel. The other two Gemaras, the other two Gemaras, you tell me, David. Why by us in an Erevin does the Gemara not ask it?
Because the 50 is the bigger fish. So the bigger fish comes second, so it's not a kasha.
Right. And what else is it? In Mashenkin and our Gemara, correct? But what else, what's the different style called? I want you to get the phrase down. Lozu, afzu. What does lozu, afzu mean? Meaning that we build up to the biggest chiddush. The first thing we mention is simpler. You got to get this down, Donnie. The first case is simple and you build up to the biggest chiddush. So I'm going to write the point of that is the style. It's a style ad. So this is what I want to bring out. Zu, v'ein, sarich, lomar, zu, is the first one. Whereas the biggest chiddush, uvda, rishona, is the chiddush. Uvda, shnia, is poshut. Okay? Uvda is the case, is poshut. Whereas the second style, called lozu afzu, is a style where you build up hatana bone me dvar uvda shuta le what? Le uvda yoter mechudash, which is more mechudash. That's what lozu afzu is. You want to build up to the bigger chiddush, and therefore it works beautifully by us. Because by Sukkot it says Arboim, which is not as big as a Chiddush, has 50 high up your Kashering. Also by the Mavui, we allow 40, but not only do we allow 40, we allow even 50. You follow me? And therefore, the Gemara is comfortable with Lozu Afsu, the Gemara is not comfortable with Zu, Vein Sarach Lomer Zuktani. And the Gemara is bothered by that and says, why would you teach such a thing? And the truth is, if I would ask you, I think it's more mistaber. How would you think, what's more mistaber to write? Which way would you think is more mistaber to write? To build up to the bigger chiddush, or say that first the bigger chiddush and then what? And then afterwards is what? Is simple. What do you think is a better style? I would think building up. Yeah, I mean, once you say the biggest chiddush afterwards, why do you need the other cases at all for? So if you build up, if you do number two, it makes sense. That's why the Gemara doesn't touch it and they hack on it. It doesn't ask it. But the other cases, the Zuvay and Sarkum Zuvay, it's not comfortable. Okay, Jacob, you got that? Clear? We got that chiddush? It's much more mistaber to build up to the bigger chiddush rather than say the more chiddush first one. If you said the first verse, all the other cases are superfluous. Yes, Matthew.
Nonetheless, though, why can't we just say it with one chiddush? Say, so it could be 50 amos tall.
That's true, but it's a style that the Tana wants you to understand the case better. And therefore it says up to 40, up to 50. I don't think so. I guess you want to build up to the bigger chiddush. It's like it's a crescendo. You know what I mean? I understand, but that we were asking Yehuda? What'd you say? That's what I'm saying. The answer is you want to build up the crescendo to be a bigger chiddush. So it's going to highlight, you're going to remember the din much more. That's the chiddush. Okay? So now we've solved so far the four Gemaras. The two Gemaras by us and in Erevin where it doesn't ask it, and Exubus and Babakam where it does ask it. Okay, fight or not, Matthew, go ahead. But what's difficulty with this? Let me ask you, before you go on, I want you to get this in your notes. When Reb Yudah says 50, does he mean 50? Or is it lav dafka? Could it even be 100? What do you say up till now in the Tosis?
It seems like it just means 50.
It means 50. Yes, it means 50. There's no doubt. Up till now in this Tosis, the first part of Tosis, I want you to get down in your notes, he means business. He means 40. Not only 40 is good, but 50 is good. But more than 50, it's not good. That's pretty clear from Tosis. I want you guys to notice that yourself. Okay? It's pretty clear from Tosis that he's taking it very seriously, and he's saying, you know what? It's Adar Boim, Bar Chamishim, and that's it, Lamaisa. We're going to see if Taisa sticks to that, to the Maskana. But at this point in the Taisa, it's the first half, he's saying anything above 50 would be bad. Okay? That's pretty clear according to Taisa. Now, but Taisa doesn't like this answer. Let's see what Taisa asks. Go ahead, Matthew. Avakosh, you're doing a great job. Avakosh. Kishui. Yes. Oh, very good. That was with the drum, yeah. Okay. So listen to this. So you got to get some background from this, okay? This is hard. In fact, I had to confer with Rav Schechter about this because a few other Rebbeim also didn't know it 100%. So the buck stops with Rav Schechter on this and Kol HaTorah Kula. So I want you to get this. There was an akut I was bothered by, and he was masber to me because he shtanu ateva. Normally, I want you to get everything down on this. Normally, when a woman becomes pregnant, she stops menstruating. Okay? So, this is the nekuda that he was masmid, which I had a hard time figuring out. He told me that Bizman HaGemara, it was different. Nishtanu HaTeva. Do you know what the word Nishtanu HaTeva is?
Nature.
The nature has changed. Tosis writes that in Avodah Zarah. I want you to know that phrase. Nishtanu HaTeva. Tosis says it quite a bit in Shas. Nishtanu HaTeva. Like, nature has changed. Nishtana Ateva. So I want you to get down. Nowadays, when a woman becomes pregnant, she stops menstruating. Okay? If she's bleeding when she's pregnant, it's not a good sign. God forbid. It could be a miscarriage. Chas v'shalom. But lamais or something more even dangerous. God forbid. But bismana zeh, a woman becomes pregnant, she stops menstruating. Bismana gamara, they still menstruated. Okay? Now, the Gemara says, I want you to get this, from the time, based on Psukim, from the time that a woman starts menstruating in her life, she always has to keep a count, the Rambam says, 7, 11, 7, 11. Always. A count of 7 days, then 11 days. 7 days and 11 days. The 7 days, the Torah calls her a Nida. I'm just going to write 7 of Nida. And then the 11 days, she's called a Zava. And according to the Rambam, she keeps a calendar from the very time that she starts menstruating until she gives birth to a baby, then the whole count starts over. But until she gives birth to a baby, she's always noting on her calendar, is it the 7th day or is it the 11th day? Is it 7? Is it 11? Anytime that she sees blood, it's always 7-11, 7-11. Okay? So you have to determine if blood is seen in the 7-day period, she's called a what? A Nidah. If the blood is seen in the 11-day period, she's called a Zava. So the Gemara has the following case. It's a Mishnah. Let's say she's coming towards her birth and she has terrible pains. So the Gemara says, Mishnah says, that if it's within 40 or 50 days from the birth of the baby, okay? I want you to get this. If it's within 40 or 50 days of the birth of the baby, if she sees blood and she has this terrible pain, God forbid, if she's in the 7-day slot, she's dom nida. Her husband can't touch her.
If you see blood within 40 days of giving birth.
Yeah, it's within the 40 or 50 days of giving birth. Correct, Donnie. You'll go backwards. That's why she's got to keep a calendar. When she gives birth, she'll go backwards. Because if you're a Zava, you have to bring a Korban. So it depends, you know. So if she was having pain and there was blood seen within the 40 or 50 day window where she had a baby going backwards, if it was in the 7-day period and she saw blood, she's a dom nida. No matter if it was because of the pain of the what? Of the baby. But if it was in the 11-day window and it was because of the pain, she's not tame nida. She's tahora still.
When did she see the blood?
She saw the blood within 40 or 50 days going back from the time she gave birth. And she saw blood, I want you to get this, she had terrible pain. So you have to determine, well, was it in the 7-day or the 11-day? If it was in the 7-day, I don't care that she's, bless you, that she's having pain. I feel bad that she's having pain, but regarding the halacha, she's a dam nida. But if it's in the 11-day period, she is not a what? If she's in the 11-day period, she's not called a zava because the blood is not coming from menstruation, it's coming from leda. Tsar Leda. Okay? Has everyone got that, Dinklor? Let's say it one more time. Okay, again. If she has blood within 40 or 50 days of her birth, you got to go backwards because you know when she gave birth. She gave birth, then you go backwards 40 or 50 days. Within that time period, if she had blood and she had terrible pain, let's determine. We'll look on your calendar. If it was in the 7-day window, she's a what? Dom Nida, she's tummy no matter what. I don't care if it was because of pain from the baby. Maybe that wasn't menstrual pain. It doesn't make a difference. If it's in the 7-day window, she's a Nida. If it's in the 11-day window, then if it was because of pain, she remains Tahara. And we don't assume it's blood of menstruation. It's blood from the embryo. Okay, Adam, you got that? That's Mefarish and Nida. I'm going to read you the drasha. The Gemara says, "V'rasa dam b'mei kishui v'adin imrasa b'mei aruim leziba shem achar asayom shvein anida harezu tahoira shenemar bezava v'isha ki yazu v'zov dama the darshul cham dama machmas atz v'lo machmas avlad." Yes, Yehuda, go ahead.
Why would she not be considered a zava? She's on during that period.
Because it has to be menstruation blood. If it's blood from a physical pain of the embryo, that's machmas leda. That doesn't deem her a zava.
How do we know by nida that what it is? Or are we just saying
it's a halachic zerzakosif. You see blood in those 7 days, you're a needed. That's
also,
it. Done.
So what about now? Now that they don't have this period during that time.
Nowadays, you don't have to worry about that halacha l'maisa.
So now
nowadays, she's not a when she becomes pregnant, she stops menstruating. Okay.
So if she saw blood in that time, we assume automatically it would be zava.
Well, it's a question, halacha l'maisa, because it might be a miscarriage, l'maisa, we have to go through it. But I'm saying this doesn't germane bizman hazeh, because generally women stop menstruating. And usually if there's a lot of blood, it's a bad sign. It's like a miscarriage, God forbid, especially early. Okay? But that's what I want you to know, this din. So what is this halacha, what does the Gemara ask there? Uparach halah? If you say within 50 days, right? Go ahead, Matthew. Parakal hashta chamishim mikasha. Oh, now that it says 50, right? Well, our boy, you have to tell me? See, mikasha doesn't mean from akasha. It means from calling this kishui. Kishui means from the pains. Mikasha nida means from the pains, God forbid, that she's having. Because of the later. Okay. Yes, Yoni, you had akasha. Go ahead.
Within 40 or 50 days of the birth, we're talking about before the birth?
Yes, going backwards. In other words, you find out she gave birth, then you go back and say, the blood that was seen on these days, was it the Nida window or was it the Zava window?
Gotcha.
Yes. And the I'm glad he asked that. And the reason why it's important to know, because a Zava brings a Korban when the Beis HaMikdash existed. Nida does not. Okay? All right. That's the din. But, you know, 40 is included in 50. So the Gemara asked that. And that's exactly what he's bothered by. This is a great kasha. Why is it a kasha? Because why? What does it say? It says Machmas Leid, and we see the Gemara asks our boy me boy, not like the Teretz of Tisus, right? What do we say in our Sukkah and Mavui? One sec, Yosef. What do we say with Sukkah and Mavui? Why didn't the Gemara ask the Kasha? Because it was building up to a bigger Chiddush. What's a bigger Chiddush, guys? 40 days or 50 days for this lady?
50.
So then why does the Gemara ask it then? And the Gemara does. So Tisus just brought up a fifth Gemara that he asks that his Teretz is bad. Donnie, you got this? Tosus developed the rule. What was the rule? That the Gemara only asks the Kasha when what? When you are what? Say the first Kiddush, the biggest Kiddush first, and the other cases afterwards are simple. Then the Gemara jumps and asks on that. Yes? But in Sukkah and in Erevin, what's the bigger Kiddush? You're building up to a bigger Kiddush, right? The second case is the bigger Kiddush. The Gemara doesn't touch it. But in Nida, what's the bigger Kiddush? It says at our boy Chamishim is the bigger Kiddush, and still the Gemara asks it. So Tosfos says, my Teretz goes out the window. Akiva, you got this? That's what Tosfos is asking on his answer. Donnie, you got a chlor?
Yeah.
It's not hard, you got to focus, so you got it? Why don't you get a chlor? Yoni, chlor? You got it? Okay, yes, Yosef.
So if we say 7 days or 11 days, does that mean she's bleeding for 7 or 11 days, or does that mean it's an 18-day cycle that repeats?
It's a cycle that repeats itself, 7-11, 7-11, 7-11. She's always counting it, all the time. If she sees blood in that time period, is she a Nida or a Zava? Correct. There might be some days that she's not a what? There might be some days that she's Tahora. There's not any blood, right? See, classically nowadays, what does a regular woman nowadays, you should just know. You don't, when you guys get married, you find out the halachas. But just I want you to know, just simple. A woman menstruates normally 5 days. She has to menstruate 5 days. She has to end the day what's called a hefsek tahara. She checks herself to make sure before shkia that she's tahara. Then she has to do 7 clean days. Every day she checks herself in the morning and the evening. If that's too hard for her, if it's going to cause problems, she can do check the first day and the 7th day. After the 7th day, she goes to the mikvah and then she's mutter to her husband. That's classically what's done, bismanazah. Okay? But during the times of the Beis HaMikdash, the Shtanu HaTeva, they bled, the women bled while they were pregnant. Okay, so you got to keep that count 7-11. All right, we got that? Okay, good. So Tosfos asked this Kasha, it's great, great Kasha. He's in trouble now. So he's got to come up with a new Teretz. Let's see the new Teretz. Go ahead, what do you say, Matthew? Yesh Lomar. So how many Gemaras have we seen so far?
Five.
Excellent, guys. Very good. Okay. Was that so hard? Lamaisa, the Tisus. It's all one Tisus. He expects us to know it, Lamaisa. It's Gavaltika feeling. Now we got the Tisus Chlor. Yesh Lomar, go ahead.
Yesh Lomar, the Ika, the Shunai, the
Mishnah, the Mishnah, the Reish Mefanin. Mefanin, Reish Mefanin. Now the Mishnah there discusses Hilchos Shabbos. And it says, if you have a storehouse where you have bundles of straw and wheat, and you need places for the guests to come in and sit, or you need guys to sit and have a seder and listen to a shir, so you need to move out these boxes of these bundles of straw on Shabbos, are you allowed to? Because normally you're not allowed to shvitz on Shabbos moving things. So you know what the Gemara says? Mishnah says, no problem. You can move even 4 or 5 things. No problem. And we're not choshes for tirach on Shabbos, which is an issur rabbanan to shvitz. So the Gemara asks there in Shabbos, 5, if I know 5 I can move, 4 it's a davar pasha. So what's Gemara's answer over there? Go ahead. Arba what? Arba v'chamesh?
Arba v'chamesh, the Amri in Shem.
For who adin? Oh, no problem, you can move 1,000. You know how people speak. They say you can move 4 or 5, but I really meant you can move 100. Meaning when there's the number is lav dafka, the Tana always teaches like that. It says 4 or 5. You know how people speak 4 or 5, but they meant much more than that. So there's no kpeda, and therefore you can remove as many as you want. So too by the suk and the mavui. When Rebuta said 40 or 50, what did he mean? He meant 100. He meant 200. So now Tosfos is saying, get down in your notes, that a sukkah higher than 50 amas is great. Could be 300 amas. Tosfos is totally backing out of that. And he's saying that whenever whenever there's a minion in the Gemara means lav dafka, like in sukkah, like in Erevin, like in Shabbos, it's fine. No problem at all. Because that's derech minion. That's derech minion. Allah lamaish. You change, you can do, you know, it's lav dafka. You know, I can say do as many, I do five or six. And I mean five or six. No, I meant 100. Take five. Give a guy M&M's. Take five or six. No, only six. I mean, come on, take the whole bag. You know what I mean? Take five or six M&M's. I meant take the whole bag. So the same thing here. The sukkah is much is kosher when it's 100 amas high. Aval. Go ahead, aval legabi kishui. Go ahead. Okay. But the Gabi Kishui, you cannot give an answer of 40 or 50. Why not? That's ridiculous. Let's say, how many months is a woman pregnant normally? 9 months. You're going to tell me that if she's bleeding in 3 months, you go all the way back 6 months? That's ridiculous. You have to come up with a window of time going back that's somewhat limited from the time of the birth. You're not going to go all the way back 6 months and say she's always Tahara. When it said up to 40, 50, it meant what it meant. It meant 50 was the cap. You can't say go all the way back. It says when it's not mistaber to say that she's her kishui, the pains, the blood that came from those pains are always Tahara. That's crazy. That's ridiculous. But where it's mistaber to say, like in Erevin, like in Shabbos, like the Mavli, like by the Sukkah, like by the Shabbos, then it's Mistaber to say. But now Tos has made an about face. One sec, David. Tos made an about face and said, when we said 50, it was Lav Dafka. Before in Tos, the first half of Tos, he meant 50. When Tos said, you build up to the biggest Kiddush. Now Tos is backing out of that whole thing. Now let me ask you, what do you do about those two Gemaras in Baba Kama? The two Gemaras in Ksubis and Baba Kama? What do you say to that? Why did the Gemara ask that?
There it is.
Because why is it limited, Daniel? You tell me, because why? I mean, you don't want her to what? If the Gemara said 2 years, right? 2 years and then what? Do you have to say two and then three,
meaning
right?
Only three, because that means that you can't come back 20 years later and be like, I need money.
Right. In other words, exactly. In other words, it's not just Stam, you know, it's not just Stam saying two or three Lamais. If you said two, it's a bigger Chiddush. So you said two, it's a bigger Chiddush, so you want to be able to present also by the animals. When you buy the animals, you want to be able to present four, this is good, and that's a big Chiddush. So Lamaisa, the Gemara asks on that in that way. You see, the Gemara in Erevin says up to 40 and 50, you can ask, you can't ask Akasha. When you have numbers and you say, you know, when you count 4, 5, or 40, 50, you're Lav Dafka, could be 100 high. But in the Gemara and Ksubis and Baba Kama, you're doing the opposite. What are you doing? Which number was mentioned first? It says 2, and it says 3. And it says in Baba Kama, it says 4, and it says 5. But which is the bigger Chiddush in those two? The first number is the biggest Chiddush. That's why the Gemara is bothered by that. You understand? In Baba Kama and Ksubis, what's unique about Baba Kama and Ksubis? That the first number is the what? The first number is the Chiddush, correct. So if the first number is Chiddush, the Gemara is bothered by, why'd you say another number after that? But in Sukkah and Erevin, which is the bigger Chiddush? And also in Shabbos, which is the bigger Chiddush? The second number, the higher number, is the bigger Chiddush. So that's where it's Lav Dafka. You follow what I'm saying? That's what Tosfos here is saying. Everyone cop what you said? You got to add that on to Tosfos. What is Tosfos saying right now? One second, we'll get to Aryeh. What is Tosfos Terence? Tosfos is saying a whole new teretz that when we're listing a number and you say 5 or 6, 4 or 5, it meant Lav Dafka, you meant much more. That's so too in Erevin and Sukkah, you meant much more than that. But in Ksubis and Baba Kama, which number was mentioned first? Which number is mentioned first? The bigger Chiddush. It said 2 and then 3 years. It said you can sell 1, you can sell 4, and you can sell 5. So if the bigger Chiddush is the number is asked first, then the Gemara jumps on that and asks, why did you list the second number? Okay? Yeah, David, go ahead.
So then how are we going to give the answer in the Gemara Nida why not just say 50? Why do we say 40 or 50? If we can't say that it's going meaning because we can no longer say, oh, it's lobbed up, it's even bigger. So what's the pshat? Why do we say 40 or 50?
You tell me, what's Tosa's theory? You always try to build up to a bigger what? A bigger chiddush. So we say 40, and then we say even 50, right? We say 40, we always have that theory of building up to a bigger chiddush.
What's the purpose of that?
The purpose of that, as we said, you know, as the Webby, when they wrote the Mishnayos, they wanted you to reach a crescendo, that you'll be able to remember it a little Maisa better, you build up to a bigger chiddush, you remember it better rather than just one number. Okay. So that theory still exists always. So that will apply to here as well, no problem, okay? But I want you to fill in the blank why Mike Subas and Baba Kama, the Gemara asks on that. Because the first number is the bigger Chiddush. Whereas like Sukkah, Erevin, and Shabbos, the first number is not the bigger Chiddush. So therefore the Gemara just says, I said four or five, five or six, I meant 1,000. And therefore it's going to be good like that. Yes, Ariel, go ahead. You got it? Okay, very good. Everyone got this so far? Donnie, you got it? Clear? Okay, very good. Let's continue now. Yoni, Clore, you got it? Yeah? Okay, go ahead. Let's go. Matthew, you're doing a great job. V'chein?
V'chein, Perek, Ugma, Yishu, So, Yabi, Sando, Habisumar, Shishtaribo, Da, Arbo, V'chamesh, Shindale, Lashiran, Tuba.
Okay, what is this case here? This is an unbelievable Gemara. The Mishnah says, in I'm going to tell you the Gemara, the Mishnah says in Masechah Shabbos, Adaf Samach, and this is how you accumulate a lot of ideas and shots when you do a taisus like this inside. You know, 7-8 Gemaras. The Mishnah has a din. You're not allowed to walk outside on Shabbos with a sandal, a special shoe that has nails all over it. I don't know, it's kind of like cleats, you know, like in baseball. I don't know if they're exactly cleats, but, you know, it's a shoe with a lot of nails on it. It's a strange Mishnah. It says you're not allowed. Yeah, their nails like that. They're wooden shoes, and they're surrounded by nails. The whole perimeter of the shoe. So you're not allowed to walk out with these things. Okay. So Gemara says, why not? The Gemara asks Akasha, why not? So I want to share with you. I want you to get this down. There are three different versions of what happened. Why the Chachamim made such a takana. The first version Shmuel says is that there was a decree of anti-Semitism. And the Jews hid in a cave. And the Jews that hid in the cave said, listen to me. They said, we have to make sure that we're going to do this properly. So anyone who wants to come in and hide can hide with us now. But once you go in, I don't want anyone coming out. I don't want anyone coming out, they said. So it happened that this shoe somehow was caused footprints, Lamaisa, outside the cave because one of the shoes got inverted, and they thought that one of the Jews themselves thought one of the Jews had escaped. And therefore they thought the enemy was going to come and pummel them and destroy them. So they all said, we better get out of here, and they all ran to get out of the cave, and they stampeded one another and they killed each other. And they killed each other more than the enemies had killed them. So because of this terrible massacre that happened, the Chachamim made a takana never to wear this on Shabbos. Because this story happened on Shabbos. Okay? And then the Gemara says that it applies on Yontif. They made this gezeira as well. Because on a Yontif also, it's a day where people gather together in shul. There might be a stampede. And therefore, on Shabbos and Yontif, it became prohibited to wear such a shoe. That's the first version. Okay? Yes, Yehuda.
This case would have nothing to do with the concept of Zerayim and how it would be a problem to make holes in the ground.
Right. Nothing to do with it. Just an issue of the Rabbanim.
Why would that be only then, not on Shabbos, not on any other day?
It happened on Shabbos. So they didn't want to ask. I guess these shoes were needed to be worn. So we have a klal and shas that we never do a gzeira that Rov Sibra cannot fulfill.
So it's just like a zechira.
Yes, correct. Similar. That's the first version. That was by Shmuel. The second version is Rabbi Loi ben Elazar, who said the following. Who said that they were in a cave, and they heard this tremendous sound above the cave. They thought the enemies were coming. So they all ran out of the cave and stampeded one another and killed each other. More than the Oivim, more than the enemies killed us. That's the second version. Okay? And then the third verse is Rami Bar Yecheskel, that they were not in a cave, they were in a shul. And they heard a sound behind the shul, and they thought the enemies were coming. And they all ran out of the shul, and they killed one another with the stabbing each other. I forgot what it's called in baseball, guy. You know, when you get spiked. When you get spiked with the cleats. Okay? So, La'avdalel of Avdalus. So because of these three versions of the tragedies, Ba'osa Shah Amru, Al Yetze Adam Isavdal Hamasumar. Frek the Gemara Yachi Bechol Nami Litzu, we should ask it during the week. Ma'isiki Avi the Shabbos. It was on Shabbos. Have the Yontel Shtari. On Yontel Shvimutu, the Gemara says, no, Yontel is a gathering. We're also afraid of the same thing. So that is the background behind this din. One sec, Ariel. So the halacha is, if you have a shoe, this wooden shoe, where there are only four or five nails left in the shoe, that's mutter to wear on Shabbos. That's what the words mean. Gabi sandal hamasumer, sandal that has nails in it. V'nishtar rubo chamesh, arba v'chamesh, but it only had four or five nails in it. All the other nails fell out. So it's too dissimilar, I stress the word dissimilar, to what? To the original shoe where they made the takana. So since it's too dissimilar, they said you can wear that shoe on Shabbos. But what does it say? It says four and five. And what does the Gemara ask over there? What does the Gemara ask over there? It says what? If it says five is okay, don't you what? Well, you guys tell me. If five nails we allow, then how much more so what? See, the more nails that are what? That exact, and there's the more nails, yeah, that you're saying that if five is dissimilar, so certainly four is, let's say a regular shoe has 25 nails. So if five is considered to be dissimilar, for sure four is going to be dissimilar. No? And the Gemara asks it in Masechet Shabbos. So what's the answer? Pshita de lo sharin in tuva. So you see the Gemara says, we allow a lot. We allow a lot. Up till five is mutter, not more. So the Gemara asked the Kasha, Lamaisha, if you mentioned five, I would know four. It's the same thing again. Right? She delayed the what? The Lo Sharin and Tuva. So what does Tosus mean by that? It's like the Kishui case, no? It's like the Kishui case. Why is it like the Kishui case? Because in the Kishui case, it asks what? What does it ask? Remember we said, Halacha Lamaisha, the Gemara says, whenever you say Derech Minyan, you know that it means I'm counting a number, four or five, like Sukkah, like Erev, like the case in Masechet Shabbos. You know, take away four or five, it could be much more. But by Kishu, you can't say that. She can't be Tahora outside of 50 days. And so to Bemerk Be'Isha. It says Beferish. It says what? It says you have left four, you left five. The Gemara says if five's okay, then you know what? Then you know for sure that what? Four would be okay. We can't allow a lot. So that Gemara by the shoe with the nails is classified as the same type of Gemara as what? As the Kishui case. The same Gemara as the Kishui case. Okay? That when you say five or four, when you say 40 or, when you say, like we said, 40 or 50, it comes out, Lamaisha, that it cannot be, it's Davka. It's Davka up to there, Halacha Lamaisha. It cannot be Mistaber. So the Gemara makes a lot of great sense when it asks the Kasha. If the shear is 50, why does it have to mention 40? Same thing here. If it mentioned five nails, then what do you got to mention four? Up to five is okay, according to one sheet. There's one sheet in the Gemara that says seven. Again, a regular shoe would say, for example, say it takes 25 nails. As long as you go dissimilar to that, it should be okay. Up to five. So therefore, that's why the Gemara asked the Kasha over there in those two places. In Meseches Nida and Meseches Shabbos. But when it's stopped listing off a number, it's Lav Davka, like Sukkah, Erevin, and the case in Shabbos about moving the straw bundles, then four or five is okay. Okay, we got that, Chlor? That's the Chiddush of what? That's the Chiddush of the Taisus, Lamaisa. That's the Chiddush of the Taisus. The Taisus writes what? Writes this distinction that he wants to say this din. Okay. All right, let's continue now. Go ahead, Matthew. You're doing a great job. We have Perek, Ubereish, what?
Ubereish
Afalpi. That's the fifth parak in Maseches Ketubos. Go ahead.
Afalpi Gavi Mishaha Adam Ishto Shai Mushfal Shanim Alek Suba
od hazam gavi yonak kino beholech afim arba chamin shanim behani shayach lamar guadin afim duvah.
Oh, so what do the last two gemaras say? The first gemara that he mentions is the gemara in Ksubas. Now, what is the purpose of a Ksuba? Let's make sure we get this. Bless you, Mark. What is the purpose of a Ksuba? Purpose of a Ksuba is that if a husband, God forbid, divorces his wife or he dies, she's taken care of financially. That's why a lot of people put it up in their living room, because it shows how much he loves her. When he marries her, he says, in the event he divorces or he dies, she'll be taken care of financially. Now, is a man allowed to be with his wife after they got married without a ksuba? No. Why not? Because it's called biasnus. It's called biasnus, Donnie. Let's get this down. Why is it called biasnus? Because it's terrible. You're living with her when she's insecure. She doesn't know the guy could throw her out any moment. So he lives with her, and then the next night he'll throw her out. So there's one opinion over there that says it's fine. You could live with one's wife for 2 or 3 years without a ksuba. That's the Chacham Shita. Remeir says, no way. You're not allowed to live with your wife one day without a ksuba. In fact, if a woman loses a ksuba, you got to write up a special nusach for her called a ksuba de irkasa. It's a special nusach of a ksuba that was lost. And we paskin like Remeir in his gezeros. One of the, this din is a gzera of Remeir. Usually Yachid Rabim halachahu, halachahu. But this is, Remeir argues on this. And it's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. I'm going to give you the Mara Makom. Simin Samech Vav Sif Gimel. Where it is usher to be with your wife without a ksuba. And it's called Bilis Nus. She always needs to have a ksuba. If you lose it, you got to write it up. That's why you never, she always got to make sure, safe deposit box on the wall. She's got to know where it is. So we don't hold like the sheet of the Chachamim that say Masha. Masha means a man can delay his wife 2-3 years without a ksuba. No problem. Unbelievable sheet of the Chachamim. Chachamim really aren't worried about it. Okay, but that's the Chachamishita. We don't hold like Chachamim, we hold like the Remeir. But what do you see from this Gemara? When it says 2 or 3 years, what does it mean, Donnie? Could mean 50 years. So that's exactly what it says. When it says 2 or 3, do you think the Gemara asks over there? Oh, if you said 2, then if you said 3, what do you have to say this for? Right? Halacha lemaisa. The Gemara should have asked the Kasha, if you say 3, do you have to tell me 2? Just say 3. Why does the Gemara ask that Kasha? Because why? It's really what? It's really lav davka. Could mean 100 years. Could mean 100 years. And therefore the Gemara doesn't ask the Kasha over there, because when you're listing off Derech Minyan, there's no reason to ask the Kasha, because it was all lav davka. Okay? So it could mean 2. I want you to get that down though, the concept of the Ksuba. Okay? Yes, Yoni.
He never ends up getting to.
Well, there's something called the Tanai Bezdin. Even though he didn't have no piece of paper, if he divorced her, it's like pre-registered in Bezdin. Any guy that's married has got to pay her. So even if there's no formal piece of paper, he's still got to pay the ksuba. It's called the Tanai Bezdin. But we just always make sure that she has a piece of paper. Okay?
So he has to do that no matter what. That
he's going to have to pay it no matter what. Correct. But it's in her own mind. If she doesn't have a piece of paper, and they live in a city where there's no Bezdin, she's, you know, it's not right. You know, you're living with her and having bia with her when she has in her mind that, first of all, if a guy happens to wants to divorce his wife, it's also to have bia with her. It's Gemara Nedarim. If a decision has been made that a couple's going to get divorced, they cannot live together anymore. It's an Isser. Halacha l'maisa. So, at the end of the day, she'll be taken care of in Mamanis, but in her own mind, the Rebbeir says it's a biasnus, the Chumim, we're not worried about it, and it could very well be like you just said. Because at the end of the day, if she does find the Bezdin, she'll end up getting her money. So she's, the Chumim say she's being paranoid about it. You know what I'm saying? So the Chumim allow it. But this in this Gemara, the Gemara never asked the Kasha. You know why the Gemara never asked the Kasha? Because it said 2-3, it meant 50 or 60. Whenever you say the number, it means a long thing, it's fine. Like by Mavui, like by Sukkah, like by Shabbos. The Gemara never asks it when it's just saying, it means a lot when it says a series. Okay?
What do we say about the sandal again? With the 4 or 5, we say the same thing. It's lav davka.
No, the sandal, we said no, because they only allowed 5 or 4. And the Gemara, the Maisa there, asks it over there. Because that's a very distinct number. Because it says 5. If you said 5, then Lamaisa, why did you have to say, and that's what it asked, It said up till 5 and not more. Why do you have to mention what 5, Lamaisa? We would know 4 anyway. If you allow 5, you know 4, right? Because a classical shoe has 25 nails. So if you allow 5, for sure you're going to allow 4. So that doesn't make sense. The Gemara asks it over there. But when you're just saying something that's lav dafka, that you meant to say, you know, it could be an exaggerated number, then the Gemara never asks the kasha. What are the three examples? Sukkah, mavui, and the bundles on Shabbos about moving them. That was lav dafka. That was just saying you can do as much as you want. When the Gemara meant to say a derech minyan as much as you want, the Gemara doesn't touch it and doesn't ask the kasha. Okay? All right, very good. You got it? Matthew? Yes, go ahead, David.
So why did if the Chachamim say you could give the ksub after even like 100 years, why do they require it at all?
So that's what I'm saying. You don't need that. That's what we're saying. You don't need a formal written piece of paper.
Oh, so
it's called the Tanai Basin. Tanai Basin.
So then why do they even say 2-3 years? Why don't they just say no requirement at all?
That's what they mean. That's what they mean. 2-3 means 100. Correct. Okay. You don't need a formal piece of paper. We don't hold like the Chacham. We hold like Reb Meir. That's why at weddings a lot, whenever Masada Kedusha, I always make sure I give it to the mother because, you know, everything's busy at the wedding. And a lot of times it gets lost, unfortunately. It's bad. It's a bad thing, halakha l'maaseh. See, nowadays also, let's say, for example, I'll give you a good shiloh. They go on a trip, let's say, and she doesn't know the ksuba. So are you going to say that they're, are they usher to be together? She doesn't know where ksuba is. So it could very well be that maybe when they come home, you'll write it up. But you know what another reason might matter this? I want you to get this down as well. Is you one of the three haramim of Rabbeinu Gershom is you cannot divorce a woman against her will. What were the three haramim? Can't open someone's mail. In Rabbeinu Gershom, can't have multiple wives. And one cannot divorce his wife against her will. So because of that, she's not going to be thrown out. You follow me? So she should be calmed down. Don't be so nervous. So maybe we would allow them on that trip, and then when they come back, we'll write it up. Okay? You follow me on that? It's a very important nekuda as well. That's far. I want you to get that down, that's far, that there's a room to say for a temporary basis. But as I said, we always try to get it done. Yes, go ahead, Yehuda.
Last year with the fires in Israel, the Rabbanu actually allowed them. They said if you lost the ksuba, they could actually stay together.
Yeah? Really? You mean when they had those fires?
So they had all those fires.
Right. Interesting. I never heard that. Very good. It was probably based on what we just said.
The Rabbanu said you have to get it as soon as you can.
Right. But I'm saying, what's the basis why they allowed? I think based on what we said in the Ramah rights. The Ramah rights, since you can't divorce her, a husband can't divorce his wife against her will, bismanazeh, if God forbid he wanted to divorce her, so she's secure. So what are you worried about? Okay? Yes, David.
Isn't there a Gemara that says like if the wife like burns the food, you're allowed to divorce her?
The last Mishnah Gittin has last Mishnah. I'm not going to tell your wife you said that when you get married. Okay? I won't tell her. Okay. First of all, you always got to know the marker. What's the marker for that? The last Mishnah Gittin, Daf Sadium and Base. The last Mishnah Gittin gives three shittas about grounds for divorce. No, that's ksuba's kuf yud. That's you could divorce if she loses her ksuba, Ariel. But grounds for divorce, the Gemara says it getting. Rabbi Kiva says you found a woman more attractive than her. Beis Hillel says she burnt the chulent. And what does Beis Shammai says? What does Beis Shammai say? Only if she was mezana. Okay? Now, generally, we assume, even though we don't pass like Beis Shammai, but we always try to strive that a couple should never get divorced, okay? And unless they have to, they're not getting along. I once heard from a great Talmud Chacham that why does the Mizbeach cry when there's a divorce? Because what's done on the Mizbeach? You offer a korban. In this marriage, they weren't offering enough to one another. So Dafka the Mizbeach cries. It's a beautiful word, no? The Mizbeach Dafka cries because they're not giving enough to one another. That's what a korban is. So David, what we mean by that Mishnah is the following, and that was before Cherem de Rabbeinu Gershom. Rabbeinu Gershom lived in the year 1000, and what that means is we don't take that literally, she burnt the chulin. What it means is either that she burnt the chulin on purpose, she's agonizing the guy, so obviously they're not getting along. Doesn't mean that he's mocking, he's a chef. That's one, you know, that's one pshat in the Mishnah. The other pshat in the Mishnah is, the other pshat in the Mishnah is either you say that she was doing it on purpose, or the other pshat in the Mishnah is saying that feeling knicha tavshilo in lamaisa is that what? What's the other pshat? What's the other pshat? No, I forgot the other pshat. I got to look it up for tomorrow.
Maybe.
I think it's what Yosef said. He's complaining about the chulin. There must be something more. I don't know if that's a pshat, though. What'd you say, Adam?
Why is that considered a word?
Because, you know, you don't treat women like that, you know?
No, it's a very big deal about burning the chulin. It's 21st century.
No, it's just like very, you know, you're destroying a marriage.
Oh, you burned the chulin. Oh, no, just make another one. Okay.
You're destroying a marriage because you burned. It shows how bad the guy is. You know what I'm saying?
What?
All right, let's check for tomorrow.
My question is that.
Wait, but one. Wait, I want you to get down. One shot is she did it on purpose. The other shot we'll save for tomorrow. Yes, David, what was your kasha?
So, because the Ramban is saying that you need her permission. But meaning, like, none of these cases show.
That was before Chirim the Rabbin of Gershom, David.
You know what I'm saying? But either with the. But what if a wife, like, mistreats her husband because she doesn't want him to divorce her? Is he not allowed to divorce her?
No, he can divorce her, of course.
But we need if you need her permission.
Bisman Azeh, based on, has to determine whether it's grounds for divorce.
But doesn't the Rama say, like, now she needs her permission?
You can't do it against her will, but based on, has to decide.
If there are. Guys, he's
asking a good question.
If there, she doesn't want the divorce, but based on.
Based on, has to decide, is this grounds for a divorce? Then it's. It's not. No, it's not deemed against her will.
Wait, you can force the guy.
It's not deemed against her. If she's doing something bad.
Yeah.
That is deserving of a divorce, then that's not considered to be against her will. Okay? Based on, has to decide that.
Why can you force a guy not force her?
We can. In certain cases, the Mishnah says, Exuba Sayin Zanim, if he's abusing her, you can be kofin until he says that he wants to give the get. Yeah. Yes. Only if he's.
Rambam says, because
we said that the Pintel Yid comes out, we learned. Remember that? We learned that, Rambam. What? Yeah, he's doing bad stuff.
Anything else you can't do?
Yeah, the Mishnah lists off cases where he's doing bad things. Okay? All right, very good. Yes, go ahead, Matthew. Yes. Go ahead.
I was at Asher or whatever, the Rav said something that, like, if you get married, let's say, legally by the state of New York,
yes,
and you don't have Kiddushin or Kisuin,
yes,
do you still have to get a get?
That's a very big machlokes between Rav Moshe and Rav Henkin. Very, very big machlokes. I want you to get this down. Rav Henkin, no, very important. I had a shy like this. A good friend of mine's sister is reformed, and she got divorced, but the guy was a very terrible guy, and she didn't want anything to do with him. So is she allowed to remarry? She had no kosher edim at the marriage. She had no kosher edim, but it's a civil marriage recognized by the halacha. So Rav Henkin said, yes, a civil marriage you need to get. And Rav Moshe said, L'chachili should be machmer for Venkin, but b'di'evid, you do not need it. If there were no kosher edim, and according to Rav Moshe, she got remarried without a get, because there were no kosher edim at the marriage. Is a civil marriage halachically good? So that's a machlis, Rav Henkin and Rav Moshe. So according to Rav Henkin, if she gets married without a get and has kids, those kids are mamzerim. Rav Moshe said there were no kosher edim, so it's okay. That's why I don't like to do, in general, a civil marriage. I signed a civil marriage contract after the chuppah. I don't like to do it before. Some people try to do it. I don't like wait till after it's halachically done. Okay? All right, we got to finish up the. We got to quickly, Yehuda. Yeah, go ahead.
How are you able to say a civil marriage, like a civil court, be
called? No, it means they're living like man and wife. It's called hein edi yichud. That everyone recognizes in the community they're living together. It's a halachic marriage. That's what Rav Henkin wanted to say. Correct. It's a chiddush. Big chiddush. What Rav Henkin was one of the Gedolei Ador. He was older than Rav Moshe. He died in, I believe, 1969. Before, he lived on the Lower East Side as well. Okay, he was a great gaon, and he was the nasi of Ezra's Torah before Rav Moshe. And Rav Moshe was after Rav Moshe had a great covet for him. But he was chaylik on him regarding. He says, "Lechachili should try to get a get. Don't rely on that kulam." That's why some people, believe it or not, at a reform marriage, it's hard to say like this because you want to make the marriage as best as possible, right? So you want to get kosher edim. But on the other hand, if they get divorced and you have kosher edim, then you're stuck if they don't get. You know what I mean? So from one perspective, you want to make it as real as possible with kosher edim. On the other hand, if they get divorced, it would have been better if you didn't have any kosher edim. So it's a very big quandary if you ever have to Masonic Kedusha for a foreign people that are not shomer Torah mitzvahs.
They're going to get divorced, though.
You can't assume, but, you know, some are chayshish marty, you know. You're worried about it. Not saying that just because they're reformed, but it's a halachic issue if they're going to get divorced and not going to get a get, you know.
To prevent another halachic issue, you should have a halachic issue at the wedding?
Yeah, it's a question. It's a question. You know what I'm saying? It's a question. Okay, very good. Let's get to the next thing. We got to finish up the next thing. Go ahead, Matthew Va'od Hassam. Go ahead, guy. Go ahead. Let's see. No, finish the Od Hassam, that last Gemara. The Od Hassam, Gabi Yonek. Wow. So Rebbe Eliezer says in the Brisa, how much time must a mother nurse her baby? So the Tanakhama says 24 months. Okay? After 24 months, it's like binyonik asheretz. It's not respectful. Rabbi Yeshua says, no, even 4 or 5 years. Where did this come up? I want you to get this down. One sec, you. Where does this come up? You have a couple that had a child, and the father is worried about it, the child dying. They didn't have powder in those days. You guys know what powder is, right? You know what powder is. They had no formula. Excellent, Donnie. They had no formula. So the kids could die. So how much time must a father take her to a Beis Din and say, you know, listen, his wife is not nursing enough. So one opinion says 2 years. More than that's too much. Rabbi Yeshua says even 4 or 5. And he meant even 4 or 5, then even what? The Gemara doesn't ask it over there. Because you know how people speak. It could even mean 10 years. Could even mean 10 years. It's unbelievable. Could even mean 10 years. So therefore, that's another example where we say what? What's another example that 2-3 means what? Like Yoni said, it means 50 years. Here, 2-4-5 means 100 years. Just like 4-40-50 means what? 100 amas. Same thing by the Mavui. Same thing by moving the bundles on Shabbos. Now, this is where I gave you. Yeah, real quick, you. Go ahead.
Didn't it say in the Torah that Yitzchak stopped nursing at 3 years old? So I wouldn't even say 24 months.
What did you say?
Torah,
weaned him in 24 months. Different sheet is in the Gemara. That was called a Matar. It's hard to learn out of din from there. Okay? It's a good kasha, though. Okay, but I want you to get this. The Aruch Lanier was the Rebbe of who? I think I said in the beginning of the year. Who was the Aruch Lanier was the one who gave smicha to Shimshon Rafal Hirsch. He wrote a sefer called Aruch Lanier and Shas. He also wrote the Bikur Yaakov, Mishnah Brura. It's like an Hilchos Sukkah called the Bikur Yaakov. He was a great, great gong. He points out, I gave you on this Tysus to look up, okay? And he points out the Gemara in Ksubis. What does the Gemara say in Ksubis with that Tysus there? Amazing. I'm going to say it outside you. I hope you got a chance to look. The Gemara says in Ksubis, it's on Daf Samach. The Gemara quotes a Brisa. What does the Brisa say? Rabbi Yeshua said even 4 or 5 years. Amar, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Afilo Arbil Chamesh Shonim. Vatanya. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Afila Chavilasa Akseifav. But there's another quote of Rabbi Yeshua saying what? That even if he's gotten grown up so much, the baby, that he can put a package on his shoulder, you still got to nurse him. So it's a steer in Rabbi Yeshua. On one hand, he said 4 or 5. On the other hand, he says this what? This is much more than that. A kid can't put a box on the shoulder 4 or 5. It's got to be an older age. So steer in Rabbi Yeshua. What's Gemara's answer? Idi v'idi chad shiurahu. No, it means one shear. Amr of Yosef, halacha k'Rabbi Yeshua. We pass like Rabbi Yeshua. So what does it mean it's one shear? You guys tell me. Methodologically. You have A and B, and what does Gemara answer, Yoni? That they're the same. So what does it mean the same? Is A like B, or is B like A? You got that? One sec, David. You got this? The Gemara said that 4 or 5 years, get it down, is the same thing as putting the shoulder on a package on the shoulder. Same shear. So is A like B or is B like A? What is Tysus saying? Subas Daf Samech. He says, Rabbi Shumar, Afil Arbel Chamisha Shon, Avagav Daha, Chaleka, Lemema, Arbel Chamisha Shon, Kenar Mienshi, Afilu Tuva, the Masha Tafka Nakarachamesh, Midaparach Mechavilosa Akseva. What does Taisa say? Umashani, Idivi Chad Shiru. Mikomakom Lake Lanifach Hashta Chamesh Shari Arba Miboy, the Nakar Arba Labori, the Chamesh Lawat Lakakash. Amazing. You know what Taisa says? Taisa says it Dafka. Taisa says it meant what it meant. It meant 5 years. It meant 5 years old. And why did it say 4 or 5? 4 years for a healthy baby needs nursing. For a weak one, it needs what? 5 years. But it meant dafka. And the Gemara meant chad shiurim. What does chad shiurim mean? What does chad shiurim mean? It meant that what the package thing is considered to be five. Yes, we assume a little boy can carry something on his what, or a little girl on their shoulder. So it means that the package on the shoulder is like 4 or 5. So please get down in your notes. The Aruch Lanier points out that Taisin Subis and Daf Samech Dibramaska Bishua argues on our Tosfos. And our Tosfos said that 4 or 5 was Lav Davka, could mean up to 20 you could nurse him. Okay, granted, I would say it's bizarre, but that's what our Taisin says. But Taisin Subis says it meant no. You know what it meant? It meant 5 and 5 exactly. Why did it say 4 or 5 and not ask the Kasha Daniel? Because 5 was for a what? A thin baby. 4 was for a healthy baby. But it meant what it meant. Has everyone got that clear? Adam? Now how did our Tosus read the Gemara and Ksubis? And therefore, which year is like wish? Which? 4 or 5 is like what? Is like the package. Which could be what? The package could be 20. Or 30, right? You understand what I'm saying? You see how the two Tosim argue on one another?
Yep.
Isn't it Kavalta Yoni? How you interpret the Gemara? It says, Edi Vidi Chad Shir. It's the same Shir.
I don't get the package thing at all.
In other words, a package is a way of saying that the child is much more developed than 5 to be able to carry something. So that was the impression the Gemara asked the steering Subas. Then the Gemara says, no, it's all the same Shir. It meant to say the package really meant 4 or 5. That's what Tosis says in Subas. But our Tosis says, no, 4 or 5 is Lavdavka, and the package could be much older. Could be 18, could be 20. You follow me? So the two Tosim are arguing. Our Tosim against the Tosim Ksubis. That's what the Aruch Lanier points out. They're arguing L'maisa, how to define what Chadashir meant, which was like the other one. So it comes out a big, big difference, Halach L'maisa. According to Tosim Ksubis, you can only ask her to nurse up to what? Up to 5. If he's a thin baby. According to our Tosis, she can what? You can ask her to nurse up to when she's 15. Pizmat, at least of the Gemara. Okay, we don't, nowadays it's weird, Lamaisa. But it's not limited to 5. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? Kiva, clear?
Yeah.
That's what the Aruch Lanier is Kiddush. That's why I want you to see the Aruch Lanier. He points out that there's a machlis in the two Tosis. Jacob, you got me? Okay, so let's. Summer, or you, when you think so. You either know it or you don't. Want me to say it again? You got it? You got it. All right, good. Okay. Wait, one sec, David. I want to summarize now our types. Let's summarize it. Okay, because we're getting to the end of the year. I wanted to do something about Hilchos Yom Kippur. Okay? Let's summarize the Tosis. How did Tosis begin? With a quandary. He had 4 Gemaras. 2 Gemaras, our Gemara, and the Gemara in Sukkah, and the Gemara in Erevin. Did not ask the Kasha about why you reach saying in such a strange way of 40-50. The 2 other Gemaras, Ksubas and Baba Kama, does ask the Kasha. Doesn't know what the story is. He says, I know what the story is. He says, when you say Zu Vein Sarach Lomer Zuktan, when you say the biggest Kiddush first, and then you teach the more simple ones after, that is bizarre. The Gemara asks on that in Ksubas and Baba Kama. But in Erevin and Sukkot, it builds up to the Kiddush. There's a notion. Everyone asks, what's the notion building up? Because you'll remember better. You're looking forward to it. There's a crescendo. So therefore, building up to it, the Gemara Lamaisa doesn't touch it, doesn't ask it, because we know why you're building up. Ad Arboim, Ad Chamishim. If you build up in the man of Lozuafsu, it's good. So that was Tosis' beautiful teretz that he wanted to say. But he blew that answer up. And what do we say up to that point? What do we say up to that point? That 40 and 50 what? Meant what? 50 meant what? What if 50 meant 50? Excellent, Donnie. 50 meant 50. Exactly. More than 50, it's puzzle. Then Tosis quotes a new Gemara that blows the whole answer up. What's the new Gemara? about the woman that was pregnant that was bleeding and had terrible pain, if it's within 40 or 50 of her birth, and it was in the window of Nida, she's a Nida. If it's in the window of Ziba, then she's Tahara. So over there, the Gemara asks the Kasha there. And the Gemara asks the Kasha there, that blows up Tosa's theory. Why does it blow up Tosa's theory? Because that's building up to a bigger Kiddush. 50 is a bigger Kiddush than 40. So why did the Gemara ask the Kasha? Should be like Sukkah and Erevin. The Gemara should not have asked the Kasha. Lo and behold, he opens up the Gemara Nida to ask the Kasha. Done. He's so intellectually honest, he says, my theory's blown up, Tosis says. So therefore, Tosis has to come up with a new theory. What's Tosis' new theory? Tosis' new theory is that when you're teaching a derech minyan, a number, like how many M&Ms am I going to give you, you can have 5 or 6. I really meant you can have 30 of them. You can have 80 of them. So therefore, when you say that number, when you say that derech minyan, you're just saying 5 or 6. I didn't mean 5 or 6. When I said 40 or 50, it could be 100 amas tall, the sukkah. Same thing with the mavui. And where does he quote this concept from? When you have a bunch of bundles in your room on Shabbos and you need guys to what? You need guests to sit and eat. You need guys to be there for a shir. You need room. You can move out the 4 or 5 packages. Just 4 or 5? No, you can move 100 packages. And I'm not worried about Tirch on Shabbos because I'm doing a Lekavod Mitzvah. So therefore, whenever you speak the Derech Minyan, it's beautiful. Whenever you speak the Derech Minyan, it's beautiful. So therefore, I've loved Afka. So now I have a new theory. Sukkah and Erevin is Derech Minyan. It's fine. Whereas the other two Gemaras, I'm not speaking Derech Minyan, because why? If you can sell what? If 2 years, she's Tovei the Ksuba, why'd you have to say 3? She loses out. After 2, so why do you have to say 3? Same thing in Baba Kama. If you could sell 4, for sure I can sell 5. That's why in those two Gemaras, the Gemara asks the Kasha. It's not just Stam Derech Minyan, Lamaisa. Yes, Arya.
What are we calling that if we're not calling it Derech Minyan?
You mean if it's not called Derech Minyan, I would call it more exact. I would call it exactitude. You want to be exact about it. So since you want to be exact about it, why would you say 4 and then what? 5. Just teach 5. That's it. Which is the bigger Kiddush? 4 is the bigger Kiddush. Not building up to anything. Same thing by the ears of the Ksuba. You say 2 or 3, just say 2. The bigger Kiddush is 2, not 3. That theory of Zuvain Sarkomar Zukatani is a problem. That's why the Gemara asks it. Okay. And then Tosis concludes by saying what? What do we say, Yoni? That the Kishui case is fine. Why is the Kishui case fine? Why is the Gemara ask it over there? Because why? It's not Mistava that you should be Tahor her whole pregnancy. There's got to be a cap. So you go back to 50. Exactly. Go back to 50. Just say 50. You don't have to say, what, 40 and 50. Just say 50 and that's it. You're done. That's fine. Exactly. I mean, she's not going to be, it's not a derech minyan she's Torah forever. Where's another Gemara that proves that? The shoe with the nail. The shoe with the nail. A classical shoe, we said, for example, sake, was 25 nails. If you have a shoe that's dissimilar, that has only 5 nails, right, that's okay to wear. And if it has 4 nails, that for sure is okay to wear. So Gemara asks on that. Why would you say it in a manner like 4 and then 5? Just say what? The 4 is the bigger Kiddush. Anything, Ariel, that's Zu, Vein, Sarach, Omer, Zu, Ketani is difficult. If you say the biggest Kiddush first, why do you have to continue on the list? 5's enough. 4's enough. You don't need to say 5. If 4 is good, for sure 5, 4 is good. The Gemara asks the Kash over there. And we're not asking a lot. Just say 5. What do you have to say 4 or 4? If 5 is mutter, 4 for sure is mutter. The more dissimilar you get, the more mutter it is, right? Okay, and then Tosis concludes by saying what? He quotes 2 other Gemaras that fit in beautifully with this Derech Minyan. The case of Ksuba, where he leaves it alone 2-3, yes? 2-3 means 100, because that's Derech Minyan, same thing. And also by the case of nursing, 4-5 means also could mean 100 as well. And therefore, we're not going to ask such a kasha. And the Rachanir points out that Tyson Ksubis argues, and Tyson Ksubis means that it means literally 4 or 5. 5 years, and that's it for the nursing. It's Davka 5 years. And when it said that the package on top is the same as 4 or 5, it meant to say that what? The package is like 4 or 5 years. 4 for a healthy one, for a thin baby, you need to nurse for 5 years. You could take her to a dentara, basically force her to nurse her. Halacha l'maisa. Our Tosis understood that 4 or 5 was what? 4 or 5 was what? Lav Davka, excellent. And therefore the package, and there's the number 4 or 5, Lav Davka is like the package. The package could be a numerous amount of years. And we said that not shock nowadays because you have formula. But not those days, you know, you had to pay for a wet nurse. It was a whole big deal. You know what a wet nurse is? They had to hire a woman, another woman who wasn't her mother, that was always nursing, and then she would nurse the baby. That cost money. Right? And that would cost money. So that was a shy. That's why I took the wife to the dentist. Okay. We got that, Chlor? Okay, now let's finish up with something else, Yom Kippur. Okay? There are a few more nakudas that I wanted to finish up. We didn't have time for today with the chinuch. Very quickly, we'll do in the beginning of Shir. Then tomorrow, we got to go Vayter. Okay? Tomorrow, we got to go Vayter and the Gemara and the Rashi and the Taisus and whichever he's showing them, we got to see. Lamaisa, keep Chazar and all of everyone doing a great job. A few more nakudas we got to do on the chinuch, and then we'll go a little bit Vayter and the Gemara. And Tuesday, we're going to do Bez Hashem and Yonei Shofar. Okay? Remember that Mahalos we started last week? Last Sunday, I'm going to give you a pack and you will from Central Shul. Remember, we started the end of the show about the shofar, Mitzvah Shukas Kavanah. So we're going to do we'll do that on Tuesday. All in Yonim of Shofar and Rosh Hashanah. But let's close with something Hilchos Yom Kippur. I want you to get on Erev Yom Kippur. The Gemara says that there is a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. Okay. Fact, the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah and Daf Yud, and the Gemara writes in Yuma and Daf Pei Aleph, that someone who eats on your Erev Yom Kippur is if he fasted on the 9th and 10th of Tishrei. It's an amazing thing. Mr. Brewer points out, what's easier to do, to eat or to fast, for at least 99% of the people? Which is easier, guys, eating or fasting?
Eating,
no doubt. But Hashem always pays us lefum tzara agra, according to the amount of effort we exert. So Hashem treats our eating on the 9th day as if we fasted. So we get that much more reward. The reward is if we fast on the 9th and the 10th day. So there's a real mitzvah to eat, and the pashtus is a mitzvah midiraisa. It's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, there's a mitzvah to eat. So Rabbi Kiveger has a fascinating suffix in his tshuvas, which I want you to get. He says, what is the nature of this mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur? Is the nature of the mitzvah just to prepare for the fast? And that's why we were given this mitzvah. They'd be able to fast well if you eat hearty on Erev Yom Kippur. Or do we say no? That there is a partial yontif on Erev Yom Kippur. And it manifests itself by eating. But it's like a semi-yontif. Like we have Tu B'Av, you know, we have Tu B'Shvat. Also, Erev Yom Kippur is a partial yontif as well. These are two distinct approaches to be maven this mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur. Is it simply a chana for the fast? Or is it a separate mixus yontif that this mitzvah sets up for us? And Rabbi Kiveger ponders this question and gives you a bunch of nafkaminas, which I want you to get. Number one, he says, I believe Yom Kippur is Shabbos this year, correct, guys? Yes. So Erev Yom Kippur technically begins Thursday night, because every halachic day begins when? At night. Does the mitzvah begin eating Thursday night or Friday morning? What do you say? Plug it in. You guys tell me. If you hold it's a separate partial yontif, then it should begin when?
Thursday night.
If you hold it's simply preparing for the fast, then it's mistabr, it's enough to start eating Friday morning. That's one nafkamin. Get you to think too, guys, in lumdus. Very important. Second nafkamin. Let's say, God forbid, someone cannot fast for medical reasons on Yom Kippur, and let's mention the shiurim, he's able or she is able to eat a kezayis, but not b'chdei achilus pras. So if you're taking a tam-tam, you should not eat more than one tam-tam within 9 minutes. If you can't do 9 minutes, then 4 minutes. You shouldn't drink more than 3.3 fluid ounces within 9 minutes. If you can't do nine, then four. Those are the shiurim because we don't view it as one achilu. That's the din halacha l'maaseh. But let's say someone medically could not fast at all. Does he have a mitzvah to eat Erev Yom Kippur? Plug it in, guys. If the mitzvah is to prepare for the fast, he's not fasting. So why does he have a mitzvah to eat? But if you say it's a separate partial yontif, then he would still have a mitzvah to eat. Very good. So that's the second nafkamina. Yes, Matthew.
If you medically can't fast, you have to go to Kippur, should you bench?
If you shouldn't have bread, but if you do have bread, you do say Yalav Yavo. I thought what you were going to ask me, I'm glad he asked me that, do you say Kiddush? So that's a big machlokes in Rabbi Kivagan or Samech on this year when it comes out on Shabbos. If it's during the week, we never say Kiddush if a guy's got to eat. But if it's on Shabbos, it's a major machlokes if you say Kiddush. We also assume you don't say Kiddush. But it's a big machlokes because it's also Shabbos. I believe Rabbi Kivagan held you do, I have to remember. I think he said you do. But we, our minig is we don't say Kiddush ever. Okay? So we have two good nafkaminas so far. Let's give a few more. What about women? Are women obligated in this mitzvah?
Yes.
If they're if it's a chana to the fast, they must fast. So then they're mechuyev in the preparations. But if it's a separate yontif, excellent, Marty, to mitzvah seshe, shebizman grom, it's on the calendaric year, women would be potter. And all these shilas, we'll chazer them over before we close, we're machmer on all of them. Number one, we start eating at night. It's a chumrah. We start eating Thursday night. Number two, we would tell the guy that's not fasting, we tell him to eat, chumrah. Number three, we tell the woman they should eat, okay? Number four, do we say tachanun at mincha on Thursday? If it's just tachana, we do. If it's a separate yontif, then just like the mincha before, tu b'shvav, tu b'vav, we don't say tachanun. What do we do? We do say tachanun, ma'am, yes. We do say tachanun. We do say tachanun. Morning, for sure, Thursday morning we do. Thursday afternoon, the mincha before Erev Yom Kippur.
Oh, it's before.
Yeah.
What about Erev Yom Kippur in the morning?
No, Erev Yom Kippur we don't say tachanun.
Even in the morning?
No. So that's a fourth nafkamina.
Wait, why not in the morning?
The whole day is a yontif.
Oh, it is.
The whole day is, even the preparation. It sets up as a mitzvah.
It's just a preparation.
That's true. That's true. True. But Lamaisa, since the mitzvah, the mitzvah sets it up like that, so we don't say b'shachros. Okay? It's a good point, Dave. But the mincha we do.
Thursday we say
tachna mincha. Yes, yes. Now, most communities in the world, I'd say 95%, certainly Ashkenazic, do they say a lot of slichus on Erev Yom Kippur or a little?
A little.
A little. Erev Yom Rosh Hashanah is the most, right? That we'll say God willing Wednesday morning. But Erev Yom Kippur is the miut of slichus. Which does that fit in well with? If it's a separate yontif, then we never say slichus on yontif except it's Yom Kippur. But if it's a chana to the fast, there should be trepidation. Maybe if I care, we should say a lot of slichus. Should say a lot of slichus. So you see very clearly that we've mentioned five nafkaminas that really go to the heart and core of this shaila of eating on what? Eating on Erev Yom Kippur. They say from the Brisker Rav that he kept a candy in his mouth the whole day because he wanted to be eating all the time. So he wanted to keep a candy in his mouth to fulfill this mitzvah chila every second, l'maisa. And he fulfilled that way. We have the minig in our household when we have the Suda Mafsekis. Suda Mafsekis, you know, the last meal that we have Lechem Mishnah. We have Lechem Mishnah at the Suda Mafsekis. Why do we have Lechem Mishnah at the Suda Mafsekis? Because if it's a partial yontif, then it should require a meal that, we don't say Kiddush, but it should require a meal that has what has Lechem Mishnah on it. If you simply say it's preparation for the fast, then it's possible to say that there would not be a requirement to have Lechem Mishnah at all. But it's, you know, it's not a hard thing to have Lechem Mishnah, and you want to make sure you fulfill the mitzvah to the best of your ability. And this is no doubt a mitzvah midiraisa. It is mamash a mitzvah midiraisa to make sure that what you fulfill the mitzvah in its most proper way. And that's why it's such a great thing that Hashem treats it as if we fasted. Because, as I said, we get that much more reward based on that principle of lefum tzara akhla. Now, let's just close with, as we mentioned on Thursday, that there is a mitzvah usher in Yom Kippur early and ended late, and that is a mitzvah midyaraisa. So, when you say tefillah zaka, when you get to shul, you're makabel yontif upon yourself early. You can't eat and drink anymore, you stop. If after you bench on your suda mafsekis, if you want to continue to drink, you should verbalize that even though I'm benching, I still want to continue to eat or drink. Because if you don't verbalize, it could very be very a little bit wary. Lamaiska, if you're on your way to shul, you want to still brush your teeth. So it's good to always verbalize before you bench that you want to still maybe eat or drink after you actually bench to make sure that it won't get in that problem. Once you say Tefillah Zakah, that's it. You are makabel the tainus upon yourself, and you should end it a few minutes later as well. Everyone runs out to break the fast. And let's just close with that halacha, that when you say Kiddush Levana, you could still be fasting. Unlike Tisha B'Av, you have to break the fast and then go say Kiddush Levana. Because when you say Kiddush Levana, there's an element of grieving the Shekhinah. Not that the Levana, God forbid, is the Shekhinah. That's why we don't say the bracha facing it. We turn away. That's why we say Aleinu at the end of Kiddush Levana, because Aleinu is declaring Hashem is the King of Kings. That's we say Aleinu because Yeshua wrote Aleinu. And Yeshua's face was like the moon. Moshe Rabbeinu's face was like the sun. But we don't face it. But since there's an element of green in the Shekhinah, you always want to wear a nice suit. That's why we always say it Saturday nights. But you're not allowed to say it when you're feeling bad. So by Tisha B'Av, you're still mourning till the 10th, so you have to break your fast. Then you come back. We come back to the parking lot and shul. We say Kiddush Levana. But on Yom Kippur, you're in a spiritual high. It has nothing to do with Avelis. It's a spiritual simcha. You can go right outside and do the Kiddush Levana while you're fasting. No problem. Unlike on Tisha B'Av, Halacha L'Maaseh. Yes, Matthew? Yes, as long as you don't do any malacha. As long as you don't do any malacha. Find out, let's say, Tzeis Kochavim is, 8:20, so do 8:22. You know what I mean? Yeah, for malacha and the fast. Yes, Yehuda.
So it just has to be a couple of minutes?
Yeah, just a few minutes, that's it. Okay, guys, everyone have a wonderful day. I'm proud of everyone. You're working stark, and tomorrow we go Viker, okay? All right, very good. Have a wonderful day. Yes, David. Yes. Yeah.